It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Thursday the 12th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Elon Musk's electric car maker has done pretty well as a public company, but this week, Tesla's latest earnings report has put the brakes on that narrative. Matthew Norden is at MNL Partners. He says it's partly about the challenge of selling in China.
The charging infrastructure is not there. Foreign marks are not eligible for subsidies in most places. And it's a really expensive car.
Well, that was the other thing I was going to ask is, when are we going to get to the point where you or I might actually think about buying a car like this?
Well, look, if you and I should be so blessed, we'd be buying basically half car and half battery at a high level. The way to get these things to be less costly is to get the cost of the battery down dramatically. Tesla has made a big bet on doing that by building a very large lithium-ion battery factory, where the aim is to get the cost down through scale and by not stacking up other people's profit margins inside their car.
What pressure might Elon Musk be feeling from investors right now?
So I would be concerned about how long can the lead that I've earned through an awesome product and doing things that nobody else has ever done, like downloading upgrades to my car, last? And will it be long enough to let me get out ahead of everybody else on cost?
Matthew Norden is managing partner at MNL Partners. Matthew, thank you.
Thank you.
Now that Radio Shack has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy, people are taking a close look at the company's plan to restructure. One bit that's getting scrutiny, their plan to pay executives big bonuses to stay at the company. Is that going to fly in bankruptcy court? Mitchell Hartman takes a look.
I'm at a strip mall in the suburbs of Portland. Just pulled up to one of the Radio Shacks that will be closing.
Hello, sir. Welcome to Radio Shack.
Salesman Jacob Woolley is about to put the liquidation sale signs up.
Of course, the first person to keep money is the top guys. I'm just hoping that I get my paid vacation and everything that is owed to me, and I won't feel sore.
The optics are never good when you're asking to set aside extra money to pay the managers.
Nevertheless, says University of Washington finance professor Jared Harford, courts routinely approve managers' retention bonuses to smooth the bankruptcy process.
These particular managers have the best knowledge of what's going on. It would make the most sense to incentivize them to stay on instead of go find another job as quickly as possible.
Hope is they'll maximize value for creditors and keep some stores open for Radio Shack workers like Jacob Woolley. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Yes, it is time for us to go back to the Future Part 2. Now that the real world has arrived at the year 2015, we're looking at a bunch of the technology predicted for this era in the 1989 movie about time travel. Our series has already looked at barcode license plates, sleep-inducing technology, and more. We've also set up an account for your suggestions, DeLoreanHistorians@gmail.com. The other day, a guy named Andy wrote us asking about Marty McFly's self-drying jacket. After he jumps into a pond in the movie, that familiar 80s computer voice pipes up from under his armpits.
Drying mode on. Jacket drying. Your jacket is now dry.
Considering the recent wet weather in New York, self-drying fabric might be pretty useful. Does it exist, though? I went to talk to a designer at the Pratt Institute in Brooklyn to find out.
Rebecca Pales Friedman teaches industrial design and fashion at Pratt Institute. Rebecca, thank you very much for talking with me.
You're very welcome.
So let's get to the brass tacks. Do we have this technology, self-drying jacket? Do we have one?
The self-drying jacket doesn't really exist at this moment. I think that there's really exciting technologies that are happening, technologies where water will just be completely repelled from your fabric and never even absorb, so the jacket will never actually get wet. There's other technologies where there's electronics built into your clothing that do all sorts of other different things.
What are some of the things that the electronics are designed to do?
So, for example, there's a project. It's a three-part system. The jacket's a three-part system where the outer layer is wind and waterproof. The inner layer actually has the first ever polymer-based conductive fabric.
What does that mean? Is it plastic that conducts electricity?
Yes, it's like a plastic that conducts electricity, but it's spun and woven into a yarn, so the electricity can be conducted right through the fabric.
You know, in the movie, there's also this Marty McFly's jacket also actually changes to fit him when he puts it on. Is there a future for that kind of technology, or does that exist?
There isn't anything that can change your size at the moment, but there are fabrics that change shape. Let's say you have a hood, a loose hood. As the temperature drops, the hood could actually just come closer and closer to your skin, creating almost like an airtight seal around your face, trapping air inside and insulating you further.
What's the difference between a device and a garment?
I don't really see that there's a difference. What I like to think of as a garment is that your garment is a tool that you wear, and it has a lot of functions. It can be aesthetic. It can regulate your body temperature. It can make you comfortable, or it could be no wash, so it doesn't ever have to be washed. There's so many different things that textiles can do. It's like a whole nother world.
Rebecca Pales-Friedman teaches industrial design and fashion at Pratt. She's also a research fellow at Pratt's Brooklyn Fashion and Design Accelerator. Rebecca, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Pleasure to talk with you.
We've posted some of Rebecca's work and some smart fabric information at facebook.com/marketplacetech. Also, don't forget to email us your ideas, and we'll take a look. DeLoreanHistorians@gmail.com. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.